Welcome to this edition of the Pepperdine People Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Gibson. This series captures some of the outstanding learning and outreach opportunities available here at Pepperdine. Each episode features interviews with exceptional members of our community and the special people who visit our campus.
Thank you for joining us for episode 54 of Pepperdine People. I'm Pete Peterson from the School of Public Policy's Davenport Institute, and I'm joined today by Ken Hampion. Ken is a longtime public servant and has worked in many different cities throughout California. More recently, he was the city manager in San Luis Obispo and has served in this last year as an interim city manager for the city of Bell. And Ken, it's great to have you here.
Thank you, Pete. It's good to be here.
Ken, maybe you could tell us a little bit at the 20,000-foot level, tell us a little bit about how you got into public service and specifically at the city level, how that began.
Well, for me, I was a radio television broadcasting major and worked at a local television station during the summer months. And I was working a swing shift in the summer of 73, meaning that I didn't go to work until 3 o'clock. So that allowed me to be home watching a story unfolding on TV live before the American public that was absolutely shocking. And that was the story of Watergate. Mm. And when I went into work, the reporters were then filled with vim and vigor for investigative reporting, having been inspired by Woodward and Bernstein, and they were covering pretty bad government practices in the city of Fresno. And I found myself just a lot more interested in good government and the idea of good government than I was in television production. And I wound up getting an advanced degree in public administration, and then the career took off from there.
You served most recently, your full-time position was the city manager for San Luis Obispo. Could you tell us a little bit about that community and how you got started there and your thoughts about public service there?
Sure. San Luis Obispo was a surprise to me in a way, because I expected to be there about 5 years. I was already 15 years into my public service career when I was hired by San Luis Obispo initially as the assistant city manager. And I thought maybe I'd do a 5-year stint as an assistant manager and then move on to another city to become the city manager. And 5 years turned into 20 years, first half of that as the assistant city manager and the second half as the city manager. And, you know, it turned into a longer run for a couple of reasons. One, San Luis really is a community that works pretty well. And there's a lot of social glue in the community, good civic habits. So it was a stable environment that was able to get things done. I also really liked the size. You know, I tell people it was small enough to be personal, where you could get to know almost every employee, and yet big enough to be sophisticated.
Right. And it's a town-gown community with
town-gown community, lots of energy. So right. Even though it's kind of isolated out there on the central coast of California, it felt very dynamic. It mm-hmm. was a creative community. A lot of Cal Poly graduates stayed, and the only real way to really make a living is to be an entrepreneur. And so there were some creative people who started up companies that thrived, and people tend to be active and involved in their local government. So it was a great place. Prior to going to San Luis, I had experience at the city, county, and federal level in Washington, D.C., and then part of that city experience before coming to San Luis was in the city of Oxnard. And when I hit San Luis, it just felt like a real good fit in pretty much every respect. And I just feel very grateful that I had the career that I had there.
You mentioned having experience at all levels of government. And obviously at the School of Public Policy, we send graduates to D.C., Sacramento, different cities. Tell me the difference and what attracted you to spending most of your career at the municipal city level as opposed to some of those other opportunities.
Well, I guess, you know, we all have our personal stories that predispose us to our careers later on. And
right.
my personal story involved growing up in a very small town in the San Joaquin Valley, ag town off of Highway 99, known as Fowler. Mm. And it was the kind of place where you went from K through 12 with pretty much the same people. And I enjoyed my experience in that small town. True, I wanted eventually to explore the rest of the world, but I had really good feelings about community life. And while there can be sometimes a downside to a small town, there are an awful lot of upsides. And I just really liked the sense of community that's involved in local government. Now, the larger the city, the harder it is, I think, to capture that. So for me, and fit, you know, is a very important thing for people to consider when they're pursuing jobs. For me, a city that was a little more smaller and that could be somewhat personal was better than being in a great big city, you know, a San Jose or a Los Angeles city government, that kind of thing. So that's why San Luis was a good fit. For me, and it's why I chose city government over the other levels. Washington was a great experience in many ways, including personal ways for my wife and I to be out there. And, you know, you get exposure to incredible speakers, people from the highest level of government giving free lectures at George Washington University on a given Tuesday night. I mean, that doesn't happen everywhere. But working within the Washington bureaucracy for me was just too impersonal. It was very hard to connect my contributions to outcomes, you know, you're just a tiny little cog in this gigantic machine. But at the local level, you know, after 20 years in San Luis, I can hardly drive to a nook and cranny in the town without spotting something that reminds me of an adventure in city government in San Luis, a project or a challenge or, you know, even at times natural disasters that occur. So it was really easy to identify what my role was about in a city that size.
So you had definitely put your time in San Luis, and you retired as their city manager about 2 years ago. But last year, you get a phone call from some friends about a certain city in East Los Angeles. Tell us about, A, how did you hear about the city of Bell initially? And then the connection from there to how you were pulled more directly into leadership there.
You know, I don't recall the exact moment when I learned of the Bell scandal, but it could very easily have been by watching the national news, because when it blew in a major way. And all of a sudden, a city that was obscure, even in Southern California, was nationally known. You know, far better known than San Luis Obispo, for example, because what happened in Bell truly rippled all across the country. It was a shocking experience, you know, not on a national level quite like Watergate, but in its own way, it's had a major impact and it's changed how local governments operate. And it challenged our own self-image, people working in local government, people who were city managers, who called themselves city managers. It was something that I was always very proud to say that I did.
Right.
And then after the Bell scandal, you know, all of a sudden, people are kind of looking at it differently and looking at public servants differently. It did terrible damage to public servants all over the country. And it did a very specific damage to the profession of city management. And that's part of the reason why I was inspired later to go there and help.
Somewhat interesting how it was the Watergate scandal that initially drew you into public service. And then after going through a long career, it was a much more localized yet very corrupt situation that brought you back into it.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought too much about that, you know, and obviously I'm somebody that has a great deal of respect for the importance of government. Mm-hmm. I don't hate government. I invested my whole career in government. But at the same time, you know, I get outraged like we all do when our trust is betrayed and when people are doing things that are just clearly wrong. And I really had no interest in going back to a day-to-day city hall life. I loved it while I did it. I poured my whole heart and soul into it. But when I was done, I was ready to move on. But Bell was
came
different,
calling.
Kind of pulled me back.
That's right. I'm sensing a little Godfather 3.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Which also there are other levels of connection there mm-hmm. with that movie. But so you receive a phone call from some friends. The scandal has broken. They are looking for help. And hearing your story, I see you really as the first responder into that situation. I wonder if you could say first how you received the phone call and then maybe just a quick brief timeline between how that first phone call happens and then how you actually show up on the doorstep at Bell City Hall.
Well, after Robert Rizzo left
Bell
his
City
position,
manager.
Bell City Manager, after he left, the then Bell City Council, this is the council that presided over all of the corruption, appointed someone who had worked as a consultant to the city to be the interim city manager. Then there was a recall election and a reform city council was elected. And they wanted their own person in that job, not someone who they felt was tainted by the past regime. Not that the individual had done anything that, you know, had been found to be illegal,
right,
but that he was associated with the former regime. So they wanted their own person and they began a recruitment for city manager. And when that was going on, for an interim city manager who would be in the position, you know, maybe 8, 9, 10 months until they were able to
help transition.
Help transition and then find a long-term permanent, more permanent in our business is 5 years, maybe,
right.
A city manager. And there was a lot of outreach by League of Cities, International City Managers Association, and there were a couple of overtures to me about going there and being the interim. But, you know, I didn't want to go back. I was intrigued because I was outraged by Bell. So there was a part of me that, you know, okay, this is about a mission, not a job. But 8, 9 months living away from home,
right.
I resisted the temptation. But then what happened is the recruitment for that interim manager that the new Bell Council was looking for closed, and they hadn't received a single application, not one.
Wow.
So then the professional network got going again, and actually it wasn't a phone call. It was an email that I got one Friday night at about 9:15. It followed up an emergency Bell City Council meeting where they had appointed the mayor to serve as the city manager because they didn't have any applications and the other interim had left then. So they
right.
were in a crisis situation in terms of their administrative leadership. So the email was, you know, this will just be a few weeks instead of a few months. And that was enough to help me overcome my reluctance. And after talking to my wife, I decided to go down there and interview with the Bell Council, and my only I had two conditions in interviewing with the Bell Council. One was that I didn't want to be paid. I wanted to do it pro bono. I didn't want there to be any questions in the Bell community or in my own town of San Luis as to what my motivation was for being there. And the second was that during my few weeks there, I would be brutally honest with the city council and that they would, you know, welcome me pointing out things that were problematic or ways that I felt like government could work better there because they were really building from the ground up. And this new council, and I have nothing but respect for the Bell City Council, but they were all brand new. Mm. And they came into it without the guidance of an experienced city manager or without much structure within the organization at all. And they were really just trying to find their way, figure out the role. You know, how do you even run meetings?
Right.
How do you organize an agenda? How do you make things happen? You know, and they were very welcoming of those two conditions. And I have to say that the entire time I was there, I always felt like my opinions and observations were welcomed. And that's half the battle. If you have an elected team that is willing to listen and at the same time, you know, lead their community the way they feel it needs to be led, they really had, it was a good partnership.
You have just given a presentation just prior to our getting together here to the School of Public Policy and graduate students there, looking at the story in more detail. One of the interesting things I think you talk about in that presentation is that if you were to list the top 10 issues exposed or experiences that you learned in your time at Bell, the whole discussion around the salaries of both employees, staff, and council, which have been clearly and extensively discussed by the LA Times, that would actually be number 10. And that along the way, if you were to prioritize them, there are several other more important issues that Bell is going to have to negotiate. One of them is, I think, rather interestingly, you point out, is the building of a civic culture there, where there's an attachment of the residents there, an interest in participation in what's going on. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about your experience initially with the residents there. It was very hot, was, as you mentioned in the presentation, very radioactive. But there's a transition happening not only in the council and staff within City Hall, but also on the part of the residents there. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how that relationship it was when you first got there and how you see it changing.
Right. Well, you know, there's a trial that is really just starting now. And people who were previously officials in Bell are being prosecuted. And through that judicial process, you know, we'll find out who's responsible for what.
Right.
But what I can tell you is what I observed and experienced when I got there. And what I experienced really was an organization and a community that had been severely damaged. The infrastructure within the organization, hierarchy, policies, procedures, clear lines of responsibility and communication, you know, all either, you know, non-existent or severely withered away, severely damaged. So a lot of rebuilding of the organizational infrastructure. And of course, a lot of people had, you know, there had been already one round of house cleaning. And so the staff was just very thin, without a lot of supervision and direction, doing their very best. And in some ways, a heroic job of keeping the city running during a time when they had no council, no city manager, no department heads. But it was a very damaged organization. And then within the community, the civic infrastructure, active and involved organizations, nonprofits, service clubs, youth sports organization, these things were either severely withered or non-existent. Active, healthy community participation, oversight of their local government, how to participate in local government, how to participate in a democratic environment, you know, when citizens have been shut out essentially and not invited to participate and in many ways kept at bay, you know, they're not going to have had the experiences that are necessary to kind of understand how problems get tackled and how they get solved constructively. So trust was really low. People were felt very, very betrayed. Trust is low. It's hard for people to work together. And there's a whole relearning process going on in Bell now and a rebuilding of trust that was so damaged by the scandal. And I'm happy to say there's been great progress, both organizationally and at the community level, thanks to the longer-term interim manager, Arnie Croce, the staff that's in Bell and that he is rebuilding, and a city council that is honest and is leading in the right way. But it will take time. It will take probably years. So, and the reason that I, you know, had salary, the salary scandal, which is the thing we all heard about
point
first,
two, right?
Number 10 on my list is because that's a problem that can be fixed overnight.
You and
can
has
change
been,
and has been.
Right.
But the other problems, you know, the damage to the infrastructure, damage to the fiscal health of the city through extremely high bond obligations for projects that will never get built, for property acquisitions that, you know, I wouldn't have made as a city manager in my former community. You know, there's a lot of financial pain, I think, that's still to come and needs to be addressed, and some entanglements that need to be worked through methodically. But they've got to they've got a good start, and the community is now involved constructively in giving the new leaders some time to work out these very daunting problems.
Ken, it's an amazing story, and I don't see, having participated a little bit in some of the things that are happening there in Bell, that they would have gotten this far without you getting there in the beginning. It's just amazing. And I've had the chance to speak with council members there who are just so appreciative of the time that you served there. It really did change the course of events. And as you say, there's no doubt that we're several years away from solving these very difficult problems. And it takes time to rebuild a civic culture, as you say, and new leadership. But they're on that path because of the work that you've done there. So thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much, Pete. And I'll end by saying that, you know, I may have been the first responder, but there have been a whole lot of other responders since I've been there and since I left who have been volunteering time in Bell. So in a way, a story that was so depressing for public service at the beginning is turning out to be an inspiring story of reform.
Thanks, Ken.
Thank you.